following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Today's Curl Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. It's a new year. That means resolutions. We're making them, and they're tough to keep, but here's one that's easy to keep, and you'll be glad that you did. Get LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, because one out of every five Americans have been affected by identity theft. And this new year, you could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements. You won't even know it's happening. But LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number up for sale on the dark web. And if they detect that your information is being used on their network, they'll send you an alert and you'll have access to a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist if you become a victim. It's LifeLock. You need it. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Curl of Classics for Sunday, January 17th, 2021. You know how the show goes. We're going to play some of the greatest Adam Carolla Show moments from over 12 years of podcasting. And we got a doozy of a show today. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Right now, Chris is in Florida on a romantic maskless vacay with Ace Man.
Yeah, it is quite romantic. And we hope everyone else is having just as nice of a weekend as we are.
We could experience the love you guys have.
I know. Well, hopefully you've been enjoying the stereo conversations we've been having.
They're very interesting. It's a cool format switch up. And Adam is right. Your mic does sound funky.
Oh, thank you.
Well, only on the stereo ones. You sound like you're in a different room as opposed to the ACS where you just sound like you're in the other room. But it's kind of interesting because you sound like removed and it sounds like a different thing. So it's not a bad funky. It's a different sound.
Well, that's because I'm using my phone. Because we're broadcasting live on stereo through the app. Mm-hmm. I'm using my phone speaker rather than the microphone in the studio. And yeah, so that we could be in different states if we wanted to do that. So
maybe you have been doing that way. We don't know.
Yeah. I'm not giving anything away. All right, let's get going with our first clip. This one from 2017. We got a little Q&A.
Yeah, this is Adam Carolla Show 2148. It's Lisa Lillian from Hungry Girl, the brand. Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. She's not in this portion of the guest, Lisa. It's just a Q&A with caller Nick. And he wanted to find out, like, how much Gary's been learning with all the producing he was doing at the time for the various shows and, you know, searching for Drew and Garagos. And from there, it devolves into Adam making fun of the specialist, much like yesterday's clip from the commentary. This is a little bit different. It's very hilarious. Check it out.
Hey, Nick, 36, Pennsylvania.
Hi there. How's it going, Ace Man?
What's going on, man?
I was just thinking the other day between Reasonable Doubt, Adam and Dr. Drew show, and this show, and Gary's vast and possibly criminal search history on his computer, mm-hmm. He's got to get on Jeopardy. You know, he's got to be the jack of all trades by now. He can win Jeopardy.
Young Money, Cash Money.
I'm sure that's not an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts. What Gary, is?
You didn't form your head in for the phrase of question.
Gary, feel like you're learning a lot in front of Dr. Drew and myself and Garagus and company?
I'm certainly searching for things I would never be prone to on my own. That's for sure.
It's probably a good way to learn something. Find guys a little older than you, talk about stuff you never heard of, and then go find it.
Our next category, obscure 70s TV shows.
Yeah.
Gary cleans up. Daily Double. I wonder about it all.
There's got to be some questions about McGruff the Crime Dog that no one else would know.
Oh, somebody tweeted me that McGruff the Crime Dog was like indicted and going to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that as well.
Take a bite out of crime.
That's the mascot.
Wasn't he animated?
Well, yeah, but you have to then have the real life version to show up at the AAA ballpark hand out flyers for $5 off a taffy or whatever they
Take
do.
A bite out of crime.
Yeah, he had to show up. And by the way, he was doing Jimmy Durante think about it. Well, it's the biggest cop out. This is why Hanna-Barbera are huge hacks. When they would do Jabberjaw, it wasn't, hello, my name is Jabberjaw. It was, meep, 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 yeah, Jabberjaw, I get no respect. And it's like, oh, you're doing Curly. I see. But you have 9-year-olds watching who don't know who Curly is.
This innovative character.
They would just kind of rip off
The act. Yeah, the persona.
Actors from the 30s and 40s, and then just use, have a guy go, can you do Jimmy Durante? Can you do Curly from the
3
and
there.
Just go do it, and we'll put it with our. So.
Yeah. Did you hear what for?
No. Somebody tweeted me that McGruff, who.
Peeing on a hydrant. Exposing himself.
Just picture him just holding the paw up like he's in Mexico City Olympics, and he's doing the Black Power sign. What did he do? So he was in the mascot for like 15 years or something?
Something like that, yeah. My favorite headline was, just because they're so, it's such a dichotomy, McGruff the crime dog jailed for pot and grenade launchers. Now, when you look into this story, it appears he had several hundred to a thousand pot plants and a lot of different weapons to protect them, presumably. But yeah, McGruff, growing the weed.
I
respect
if he was smart, he'd keep the cost. I would always, if I was growing weed,
edibles.
If I were growing weed and I was McGruff, when I tended to the weed, I would put the McGruff outfit on, not the helmet. I'm not a weirdo, but I just put the body
coat
on.
The trench coat, yeah.
And I would keep, well, the little paws and stuff sticking through, and I'd keep the head next to me. And if the feds rolled in, I'd pop the head on real quick, and I'd go, everything under control here. McGruff is on it. I'll get these potheads. They cleared out as soon as I swept in.
Take the rest of the day off.
Make it the week. You've earned it. I'll clean up here, and I'll lay in wait until the owner comes back. I'll net him, and I'll bring him into the precinct myself. Boys. Meanwhile, move all the vans and armored vehicles away. You're just going to scare him off. And they'd probably work.
Yeah.
I mean, McGray, you'd get that thing on the talkie. Hey, McGruff, when McGruff says clear out, you clear out.
Yeah, McGruff's got it under control, Captain. Yes, the dog.
Yes.
Yep.
I would do what James Woods did in The Specialist.
What did James Woods do?
Oh.
Sorry, I don't remember that.
Oh, Bri. You review movies for a living.
I know, but not How films. Can
you? Oh, okay. Popcorn stuff, yeah, but
I'm
not
I'm the man
films.
Of the people. I don't really go to the highfalutin.
How do you have any credibility?
Refresh my memory.
Gary, find James
2 seconds. Woods. I know what I'm looking for.
Showing up to the precinct.
If this goes up on Jeopardy, I'm good. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I don't even need you to describe it. I know.
All right. You look that up. I'll tell you guys. All right. Let me just hop down the phone here. And we'll bring Lisa in a second. All right. Hold on. I put somebody on. Hold on a second. All right. Wait till you're, go ahead and just run James Woods and turn it up. This is a tour de force. This is a man at his best. He's going into the precinct to talk to the bomb squad guys.
Hey, sport, where's the bomb squad?
What I would do with the guys, alcohol, tobacco guys, firearms who wanted to bust me, my pot farm, but I'd do it McGruff's voice.
Hey, come on, boys and girls, come on. What are we doing here? Let's look alive, huh? What do you got?
We're looking into everyone at the party, doing a complete background
Somebody
check, okay?
Somebody blew up the party.
Give me the next one, all right?
Sharon Stone. Back when computers made noises when they did important things.
Hit the enhance button.
Yes. Enhance. You know that button.
Tell you what, I'll handle the biographies. You go back to tracing C4. Okay, Ace?
Telling everybody how to do their job.
Chief says you're on this? Fine. But I don't take orders from any ex anything.
Uh-oh.
All right, Ace?
Uh-oh.
And I got to tell you something. I mean, I'm sorry, but I thought your chief said that the fullest cooperation would be forthcoming. And I got to tell you something, sport. This doesn't feel like full cooperation to me. I mean, look at this shit here. What is this? This is, shouldn't this be in the lockup? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys are the experts. Maybe you don't need me. I mean, like, what is this? This is,
Plastic.
This is Semtex. Am I right? Plastic explosive. Am I right? I don't know. You're the expert. I mean, this little bit could blow up this whole area, and if this area goes, the whole building could go up. Am I right? Gosh, I don't know. I mean,
this
maybe
is what I do
if I put this in here.
I've got a ballpoint.
What else do we have here? Oh, this is a plunger detonator. Am I right? And that's a little mini receiver. You know, this looks like American circuitry to me, and I got to tell you, call me a patriot, but American craftsmanship.
Look, all the ingredients
the
for bomb
in
making
world.
Out in the
see?
Lobby.
Here we go. Let's just see.
Now, hold on to your underpants, Brian.
Perfect fit.
It's going to heat up.
First time, every time. Screw it on, and one little twist, and voila, a perfect receiver bomb, which of course is absolutely worthless without a transmitter.
Because that'll work, all the equipment.
But hey.
Going live.
Oh, no.
He's never been there before, but he knows.
We're hot.
Why is it best?
Now the pen goes into the brick of
C4. You sanctimonious prick.
Okay, you cut that shit, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Come on.
Okay, you made your point, all right?
Have I? Huh?
Okay, that's enough.
Holding in front of him.
You think I give a shit if this whole fucking block goes up? I don't. You mean you've had enough? Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Enough is enough.
Huh?
I can't do it.
Well,
what the hell are you? You crazy or something?
I'm the craziest person you'll ever meet in your life. Six.
Blow up the whole building.
Four. Three.
Please!
Now here's a tip. You take care of the shit work. You leave the folks at the party to me. Okay? We on the same page here?
So that's your move with McGruff?
Peace.
Well, as McGruff, uh-huh. Yeah, when the DEA guys showed up, or the ATF guys, or whoever showed up, I would give them that speech
that's
and tell
good.
Them to hit the bricks. But in the McGruff
in voice. In
right. This is plastic.
Right. Plastic.
So, Brian, are you moved?
Very much so. I can see this is like a prequel to Casino. He sees Sharon Stone on the thing, and it tracks her down. He's out in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I forgot how great he was in that.
You're in that place?
Hated him. Where are you?
Such a lech.
Where are you?
Come back to me.
Oh, I love that. All right. That's a tour. That's James Woods at his best.
And that was Adam talking about The Specialist, which he was heartbroken to find out it's only like 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. Although I've seen it over 7 times with Adam. So I think there's some sort of balance.
You guys
there.
Have seen it more times than anybody who made the movie have seen it.
Yeah, it's along with the movie Rush, we watch it every year in Monterey. It always makes its way to the TV screen.
Very interesting.
After a race and after dinner. And it's a good way to unwind. All right, let's get going to another clip. This one from 2010 features Brad Garrett.
This is the second half of Adam Carolla Show 358. It's the rest of the news and the interview with Brad. Teresa Strasser and Brian Bishop also present, of course. And it's from July of 2010. Check it out.
Brad, good to see you, my brother.
How are you, my friend?
I like you a lot.
This place just gets nicer and nicer.
Thank you. I was just watching.
Who's the broad?
That's Teresa.
Hi. Come with the couch, Adam, or what?
Yeah. Does a guy who's 6'9 and a half need to wear cowboy boots?
You know, I'll tell you what it is. When you're a size 15, you're not that picky.
Really?
Options are limited.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of boot.
You're looking at half a step.
That's a good looking boot, though.
It's not
I got to say.
Right?
That's nice.
Where are these to theater camp?
I think Brad might be on mute.
Oh.
Am I on mute? That's okay. Yeah. That's a good thing. Did my big dumper turn it off? What happened?
Brad is swarthy, but I like that.
I know. Is he looking a little bit like Javier Bardem these
Yes,
days?
A lot of
Javier
bit.
Bardem?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if he was on that human growth hormone.
It's called unemployed. Yeah. Just letting it all go.
It's a good look.
Thank you.
I just
Thank you.
Watched...
I try to look like Mexicans when I can.
I tell you, if you were 5'8", you could definitely mow my lawn. That's for damn sure.
He might be, 5'8", I believe he's Spanish.
Is
but,
he?
You know.
Okay, that's a tall
Javier?
That's a tall Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was...
are you Mexican?
No. My name is Teresa, though, so it's confusing.
Teresa.
Yeah. Teresa, but I said to myself...
I had to do...
I had to do...
I did Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, did you do it?
My greatest fear in life.
Yeah.
My greatest fear in life. Because if you really think about... And the reason I'm bringing this up is because they gave me your disc. They said, here, watch Brad
He's an
Garrett.
Idiot.
Here's right. an idiot.
Right.
It's
no, going to
make you feel comfortable. No, they said, here's a good example of a celebrity playing our game. So use Brad Garrett. Here you go.
Right.
And I thought you're really funny, and you did a great job on it
Thank
as
you.
Well.
But...
My greatest fear,
yeah.
and I think all our greatest fears, is not somebody to say, I need you to name, you know, the capital of Bolivia, because I don't know if I know that. I don't know who knows that. And you're comfortable with it. But when someone asks you a question that a third grader should know and you seize up, that's embarrassing.
It is.
Asking you to spell a 19-word, spell a 19-letter word, so be it. But a five-letter word that you fuck up that you use every day?
Of course.
That's embarrassing. And that's what this show can do to you.
That's what it can. And, you know, I didn't know the Caribbean. I didn't know the Caribbean.
Well, they say, like, firemen are rushing into buildings when most people are rushing out. And you guys, most people spend most of their energy avoiding public humiliation. And you guys are rushing to possibly be beaten by a fifth grader.
They asked Brad, what is the name of the sea? The, Jamaican Islands or
something. I said Vacation Sea.
Vacation C is a good guess.
That's what my people, the Jews, call it.
You not only do you realize that you're not as smart as you thought you were, but also you fucking seize up. I mean, pressure.
It's tough enough alone without having five kids looking. But how'd you do?
Well, they told me I can't say.
Really?
Mm. Well, they said before it airs.
Right.
Before it airs. You're not supposed to yap about it. But let's put it this way. Those little shits didn't help at all.
Yeah.
They do this thing where they go, well, you have two lifelines. You can do the peak and you can do the cheat.
Right.
Yeah. Assuming the kid is right, it's awesome.
Yeah.
If the kid's not right, it's actually worse than him never being born.
The kids are always right, aren't they?
I found they were not.
Really?
I found they were not.
You got to pick the kids on the way in.
I was able
to pick them.
I should have swung
by
a special
school. I went with two Asian
kids
and an Indian.
Well, we didn't have time. We had a Mexican, a Schwarz, and a blonde, so we were screwed.
Okay, so you're screwed.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got like $8.
Yeah, well,
what was the charity? Was it a...
Well, that was another thing, too.
Oh, God.
I had just picked, like, veterans who needed, you know, prosthetic limbs put back on them.
You don't have a passion on them? You don't have a charity guy like you with something that's...
Well, you know, Italian cars for white guys.
I would donate to that and have.
I didn't have one, and my wife phoned it in at the last second, and then they told me what charity I was playing for, and it was like, you know, ovarian cancer research, whatever. But then when someone points the finger and goes, name of the charity, and it's got eight words in it,
of course.
And you found out a half hour earlier, and it's not your charity, then you just seem like a douche. You're like, you know, whatever, the chicks with the stuff and the coos.
When there's a problem with the Dutzie, this is the number you call.
I'm not a gynecologist. I just want to clear it up. Yeah, so I can,
for the front naughty.
Hey, listen, if up to me, I'd just be blown. But a lot of chicks like fucking, so what are you going to do?
Maybe Red
is
Cross.
Is that true? Would you just be blown if it was up to you?
I think
shows you with the same chick for a long time.
Oh, right? Is that what it is?
I guess so.
I could take a stranger if you're asking.
Sure you could. Well, in this area, you're going to... Where are we?
We're in the Glendale Burbank area.
We're cool here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I rented a car to drive here.
You did?
I was worried about the hoop.
Oh, really?
You rented?
It's okay. I mean, you're cool here. You're wired for everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're fine. Pull your cord over your headphone cord. I think it's whacking your mic there.
I'm good. What do you want, this?
Yeah, go over your head with
it. Well, you know, you see the chick that wires you for sound. It's like...
She's hot.
I don't know. No.
She's not hot.
No, she's hot.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has...
Brad, what is...
I mean, you know, it's like you meet a guy, there's a guy out there with no shoes that, you know, should be asleep. You go to school tomorrow. He walks in, want a cookie. Then you have three mechanics in the back. I don't know what's going on.
They're working on their junk.
They're not. They're not working.
Oh, they're not?
No, they're on the internet, and it doesn't look like work.
Brad.
Talk to me.
I should give a plug for the Brad Garrett Comedy Club.
When are you going to play it?
I'd love to. We've never played Vegas. Yeah, do stand-up, yeah.
No, do you still?
No, it's kind of the opposite. I barely did it before, and now I do it because I need a job.
You don't need a job.
Yeah,
I do. You got a Corolla. You got to sell one of those cars, man.
No, see, that's a problem. I don't want to sell the cars.
I just saw one.
So, have me out to the club.
Yeah, listen, I would love that. I would love. We just opened up last week. It's at the Trop, and Bob Zaney is there this week. Ron Sheridan next week.
Does it work for you? How often do you get out there?
I'm there about once a month. I'm there once a month, and we're having a great time. It's a great room. You know, it used to be Dangerfield's old room.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was the Comedy Stop for like 20 years. And I had an opportunity to take it over, and we just had a great time, man. It's a perfect room for stand-ups. And it's just, we have music, and jazz opens up the sets. And then we have two headliners that are coming on, Kevin Nealon and Dom Herrera are coming out. So we're having a good time. Well, love to get Carolla out there.
Carolla, Mike August, if you're listening, let's get to Vegas.
Love that.
We're going to San Jose this weekend for 5 shows in 2 nights. So,
are you really? You're doing that?
Yes.
Good. So you're really on the road, man.
I'm on the road, baby.
I love it. Good for you, man. You're going to do great. The one in Fresno, is it?
Wherever the improv is in San Jose, the big one.
Okay. And is August opening for you? What does he do?
No, I'm doing 90 minutes. He sits around and he keeps booking shows.
You're doing 90, huh?
90 goddamn minutes.
It's a long time up there. You know, it's like not sitting on a couch doing this shit. You know,
I know.
Are you going to broadcast from there?
No, we'll record those and probably
a lot of Mexicans
there.
They'd love you. I'm going to be there soon. Yes, I'm going to be there in a few months.
San Jose?
It's a great room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great room.
So,
you know, I'm hacky. I got no act.
I don't either.
A couple impressions, and then I take questions.
You do impressions?
Sometimes. I remember seeing you do Fred Gwynn back on, like, Star Search.
No, not Star Search.
Oh.
I mean, I was on it, but I wasn't
You didn't do
doing
Fred Gwynn on
No, I broke out Fred in the 90s.
Oh, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s. It felt like the 80s, though.
You know what it was? Maybe it was, like, Night at the Improv or something like that?
Yes. You did one of those, didn't you?
No, I didn't, but they would.
Did you say you did?
I would lie sometimes about what I did. The thing about Night at the Improv is they go, hey, I got this great idea. Why don't we have actors host this show, and then they'll bring on comedians, and we'll write a 4 or 5 minute monologue for the actor. Next thing you know, you got Gavin McLeod up there talking about airplane food, and it's he's not a comedian. It's not, and someone just wrote, anyone could write anyone a monologue.
That's
Can
true.
You deliver said right. monologue?
Exactly.
It was always a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
Seeing Scolari from Bosom Buddies up there delivering a monologue that some other dude wrote earlier that week.
That's true. And it went on forever, for years.
So who do you do other than Fred Gwynn?
I do Rodney, you know. I do Cause, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're tired, you know. I mean, no one knew. I do dead people pretty much.
Well, the Cause isn't quite dead yet.
Yeah, no, he's not well.
Oh, he's
really?
Not?
No,
he's
fine.
Know that. He's fine. No, don't jump on.
Scare people.
Oh, sorry.
No, he's good.
So you started Star Search.
Yep.
How far did you get in Star Search?
I won the first year. Won the first year.
The first 84. Year that they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
23, man.
And where'd you come out of?
L.A. I'm a native. Is that what you meant?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess, you're from, like, Reseda or...
Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills.
Near Reseda, yep. Yep.
You went to Chatsworth or Taft or
El
Birmingham
Camino.
Or El
You're not
Camino.
Into the bios.
I would have got to.
You're not into the fucking bios.
No, not really.
It's okay. I don't blame you because they're tired. And who wants to look at the bios?
When we get good names in here, I'll look them over.
Yeah, I heard that.
But, you know, Brad, come on. Look, we had Ray in here.
How bad could it go, right?
Ray comes by, you take a look.
Ray, you're going to need the bio.
Yeah, you're going to look at the bio. You want to offend him?
Exactly.
No, I remember last time.
Why would you offend me? What do you mean?
That seemed like a pretty good set to be working on all those years.
Oh, man, we had a great time. Have you seen his new show?
Man of a Certain Age?
It's good.
I heard it's really good.
He's made the jump, man. It's a great show.
Now, what's made the jump mean to you?
Well, it's, you know, it's almost kind of reinventing yourself in a very different medium, you know? Mm-hmm. It's mainly a drama, and he's involved in the writing and the producing, but he's really, you know, it's very different than a sitcom, a single camera a drama. And, you know, it's kind of like a dramedy, if you will. I mean, there's funny stuff in it, but he's, you know, they got Andre Bowers in it, and he's incredible, and Scott Bakula, and it's, you know, he's holding his own with these very dramatic actors.
You know, it was funny. I also watched the pilot, Everyone Loves Raymond, because when I was doing a failed pilot on CBS, they said, you know, watch this pilot, because this is sort of like what you're doing here. Right. And so when you're doing a pilot, the tough part with a pilot is you want it to be funny, except there's all this exposition stuff where you have to go, like, you know, here's my wife and here's her backstory and it's my stepson, that's not my real son, and then this is our 9-year-old from previous relationship, blah, blah, blah. You try to lay all this shit out, and it's hard in 21 minutes to lay out a whole bunch of shit and be funny. So when you're writing it, probably the pilot's one of the toughest things to write. By the time you get into season 3, everyone knows all the characters. You don't have to set up everyone, all that shit. So you're sitting there, you're busting your ass. You're going, how do we set it up? Do I call him stepson? How are people going to know he's my stepson? Blah, blah, blah. And then I was watching Everyone Loves Raymond. The first 3 minutes of Everyone Loves Raymond, the pilot, is Ray Romano in the front yard, and he goes, he just lays it out. Like, yeah. he, like, breaks down the fourth wall, and he goes, that's my right. parents live across the street.
Yeah.
My brother lives with them. He's a cop. He's a Gemini.
Right.
They're not nuts about him living. That's he right. has an idiosyncratic movement about food. They come over and act too. Like, he just, like,
right.
whoosh, he lays it. And I was like, what the fuck? You get to do that? I didn't know you got to do that.
You hit the ground running that way.
I guess. And then you just,
that was a good idea.
And then yeah, you just start, right. then you start your fight.
Yeah, otherwise it's like, hi, neighbor who's lived there for the past 20 years, but sure. with whom I've never gotten along.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, you're grounded, and not just because you're my stepson.
Right, right. Very, very, very well done. So he was just up there, and he laid the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And what are we talking? Wait, how many? 10 seasons? How many seasons?
Nine seasons. Again, you're not looking.
And then he moved on to another show.
Well,
moved on to another show. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of till death.
Till death.
Yeah.
He's dead. He's yeah. dead. Now you put the glasses.
Put the glasses on. Well, here's
anything
the thing
that doesn't work.
Here's the trouble. Here's why I have trouble.
Yeah.
It says 96 to 05.
Right.
And if it says if you played in the NFL 96 to 05, yes. yeah. you played for 10 seasons in the NFL.
That's correct.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It wasn't a question on are you smarter than a fifth grader, although yeah. it would have been nice at a couple questions right. from
but
the
I'm
NFL.
White. I'm right. white. You right. got to remember that.
I'm saying so, in the sitcom world, it yeah. means 9 years. In the NFL, it means 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, as far as you go, you do stand up, then you get onto this blockbuster sitcom,
right.
and then you move on to another sitcom, and you go back and do stand up because you miss it, you love it, you're broke.
I miss it. I love it. I'm bored.
You're bored.
You know?
And, creatively.
Yeah, creatively. And it's really, as you know, like this, you get to do your own thing.
Sure.
I think that's why you're doing this.
Right.
I have no idea where this goes.
Or who listens to it. None of us do.
You know, you're nobody in your fucking does. Garage. You know, you right. got two mechanics over there.
Yeah.
You got the sniper over here. No idea what he changes everything.
Malvo.
I mean, you know, yeah. Mike is shaved. I yeah. mean, everything's, you shave. You, you know, so you do it because you love it. And I think stand-up is the only... You know, meeting where you could do your own thing, you know, mm-hmm. where you're not going to get noted by the network, or you don't have to worry about ratings, or you just go
right.
out there and you do what you love. And it's hard, and it's exciting, and it's different. And, you know, when you do it, you always do it, or you do it and then you never do it again. But I just dig it. I mean, you know, I was working, you know, the bigger rooms in Vegas for a long, long time, and everyone's like, why would you go from a big room and open a club, you
right.
know, it's because, as you know, in stand, there's nothing like the clubs, especially for a stand-up. And it's, I was able to literally design this room and map it out the way I thought it would be great. And it's just, it's wonderful. It's a great place. And, you know, as corny as it sounds, I love when we find someone great who can come up there and blow the room away that needs a room that isn't, you know, the political trappings of so many of the other rooms in Vegas where, like, you know, there's these rooms in Vegas, like if you play this room, you can't play another room in
yeah.
Vegas for 4 months. And shit
right.
like that, which I never really yeah. got.
Well, like, same with the late night wars, you know, they'll
that's
do
true.
That a lot of the time.
That's true. And it really never made sense to me. I mean, it's only ego-driven. I never got that.
Absolutely.
I never got that.
It happens on TV all the time, and I don't understand it because the audience doesn't give a shit.
Of course. And the audience is usually different.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're over at Catch a Rising Star and then they come over to your place and see the same guy 2 days later, they just assume he's a successful dude.
Exactly, and it happened all the time in those days, you know, when we used to play the clubs. You would jump from one to the other. You would do different sets across the city. And especially Vegas, your audience is on a plane in 2 days.
Right.
So it isn't even like, you know, you're overlapping. So it's just... I'm having a ball. I'm loving it. And, you know, what I learned, you know, from my last outing with television is, you know, it's a very tough thing to make work. I'm very, very grateful. I mean, you know, my last show was on for 4 years and Fox was behind it and Sony was behind it. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work in year one, it most likely isn't going to work. I mean, there's no other network that would have kept us on for 4 years with the ratings we got. It's unbelievable. Our last rating, last time we aired, we got a 0.8.
Wow.
Now, I know you know what that is.
Sure.
A 0.8. You get a 3, you're canceled. A
0.8. Right.
So, you know, the guys from the network called, and they said, you know, Brad, you got a 0.8. And,
right.
Do you have any ideas? And I said, listen, give me 1 month, and I can bring you to a 0. I really said that. I thought it'd be the first show that got a zero.
You're right at the hash
mark. I mean, the publicity alone would be unbelievable.
It'd be like springtime for Hitler.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
So, what if you tried to bring it to zero and it became a huge smash?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. After that comment, the next Sunday, because we were on, they put me against the Super Bowl. We went up a half a million.
Oh, God.
Really? We
went to counter-programming.
How does that happen?
Women
going, I got to go to see something else, even though I wouldn't watch this on a normal day.
I think it sort of works like you are the one Bulgarian food joint on the entire street.
And I've never looked at it like that.
Every other place is serving top-notch Italian, Thai, and Mexican food. But you're not going to get the lion's share of the people, but you're going to get 100% of the Bulgarian food.
Because I have a little bit of a Bulgarian or a Spanish look.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Shall we do... We got a little game here called Hobo Power.
Hobo Power?
Yeah.
Love it. And it's I love hobos.
Something I dreamt up with Dr. Drew many years ago, which was... there's units of measurement for everything. There's BTUs for heat, and there's horsepower, and there's kilowatts, and everything else.
Yeah.
But we don't have one for stink.
For stink,
a measurement. Yeah. You know, people go, "Oh, that was rank, or that was horrible, or who farted, or come on, open a window." But it's a lot of like, "Oh, that was bad." This Hobo Power lets you quantify stink. I'll show you how it works. People are going to call in. They're going to give their stink story, and we're going to sign in a number. Now, remember, I like when people say remember to people who have never heard of anything and don't give a shit about it.
Yes.
Remember
this is important.
That 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white-hot hibachi.
That's 50. Okay.
100 is only hypothetical. It's never happened because anyone ever got to 100 would have been dead.
Got it.
And
it's a great topic.
It's hard to pass 25 unless someone is yet. You got
to
vomit.
Yeah.
If you didn't vomit, you didn't get to 25.
Okay.
Here we go, Brian.
It's time for Hobo Power. Adam's unit of stink measurement.
Hear the mighty rush of the engine. Hear them lonesome hobos call.
You give us your stink story.
Uh-oh.
And we'll rank the funk.
Yeah.
All right, let's just hop up. Is that Jerry Reed, by the way?
Yes.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. They called him the Bandit. It was a great song, right? They called him the Bandit.
I give the song a 19.
And the
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
What's going on? Give us your hobo power story.
Okay, well, I am a scientist, and I used to work for a biotech company. And I was doing research on inflammatory bowel disease.
Mm-hmm.
I have that.
The way you test out these drugs is that you would get a whole bunch of rats, like 50 or 60, and you have to give them inflammatory bowel disease by dosing them rectally with a solution that causes bowel inflammation. And then you have to follow these rats for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
100 rats in a room, all of which have inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah, see, I'd be the guy who worked with the rats to see what the effects of cocaine were on them. Because it'd be a little bit for you, Ben, and a little bump for Daddy. Daddy needs a little freeze. Yeah, I'm putting in some long hours.
Well, before we assign this a hobo power, for Brad's sake, since he suffers from this, did Eric find any cures?
Well, you know, there's always something that looks kind of good. I will say this, it was a great job in order to get ketamine.
Oh, yeah.
Love ketamine.
What's
ketamine? It's awesome. Oh, you love ketamine.
What is it?
It's an animal tranquilizer.
Yeah, it's a tranquilizer.
I like the sound of it.
Don't act like I don't know, Teresa.
It's the new roofie. Come on, where you been?
The whirling dervishes used to take it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, Eric, how did you infect the rat asses? Did you wear a condom at least? Thank you.
You get a syringe and a little plastic tube, and you have to loop it up and insert it into their rectum, and then you dose them.
There must be another fucking
whatever irritant happen to be using.
Wow, I would have PAs handle that.
An irritant. That's how you irritate their bowel.
Uh-huh.
Like put some kind of ammonia or something up there.
Why can't you just shoot shit in their mouth that makes you do it? Why do you got to go in their ass if it's
solution.
Coming out?
I can't remember exactly what it was.
All right.
Wait, and, they get alcohol and ketamine. Can I participate in this
sounds
research?
Sounds like a rave.
And that
All right, so now did you get any rat diarrhea on you, Eric?
Well, we were usually gowned up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to consider the
respirators.
Temperature.
Well, they're rats. I mean, they're small feces.
Just a paper mask.
Paper mask. Okay. Yeah, it's not like you're doing it to water buffalo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's air-conditioned in there.
It's scientific. They're gowned up. I'm going to give it a 12. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's even a little high.
A little high, but I feel like he was doing the Lord's work with the diarrhea research.
Yeah, I know. You know, seems like a nice guy.
I don't want to break the guy's confidence.
By the way, he's up north in Hayward, so maybe he can go see you at the San Jose Improv.
He's close. Yeah. He sounds like a pussy. I give him a 9.
Hey, Eric. Come out to San Jose. Bring some of that. Bring some of that Special K for me, would you, brother? We call it Special K, too.
Yeah.
All right.
That there really is a scientific unit of measurement for smell.
What?
Is there?
There is?
It's called the OLF. OLF.
Oh, my God.
OLF?
The OLF.
Yeah. Is that right?
MD.
It's defined as the stench of one normal human.
Oh, my God. Okay,
wow.
But, I mean, define normal. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Well, look around.
Well, hey, we're in Glendale, so we might be up a little bit.
The OLF. OLF. Yeah.
The stench of one
human. Is this like the game where you make up a word and then you try to sell the definition?
Liar's Club?
Like MILF. Yeah. Like it sounds like MILF.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
The OLF of the MILF.
Let's change that to hobo power, please. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Fucking scientist.
Thanks for ruining our game.
Love scientists. The OLF. Oh, the stench of one human being.
Yeah.
Well, it brought it up.
Measure the strength of a
pollution source.
Oh.
From Danish professor P. Olfanger. That's a made-up name for everyone, by the way.
Yeah. Wow. I've been behind dudes in the airport that were rocking about at least 9 to 10 worth of Olf.
Wow. They say a heavy smoker is 25 Olfs, an athlete is 30 Olfs.
Why is an athlete 30? You mean an athlete after he gets off the field?
That's what I'm guessing. Synthetic fiber is less than half an Olf.
Yeah, but wait, old guy's been swinging a pickaxe in it for about 2 days.
It's defined as one adult working in an office or similar non-industrial workplace.
Wow.
Sedentary.
Unbelievable.
And in thermal comfort.
Wow. We really learned stuff.
The breath
has
to count. Breath has to.
Yeah. Hey, Phil?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, get it on.
Get it on.
Get it on, baby. Here's my story for you.
Sure.
I'm in high school. We have a 9-week gym class, and I have a bet with a buddy that I can't wear my gym shirt for every gym class during the 9-week period.
Mm-hmm.
So the last day, the night before we go to dress out, you know, the last day of gym class, he takes my shirt, takes it home, puts milk in some kind of pot or something, and boils it up, gets it nice and hot and spoiled, all that, puts it in a bucket with my shirt overnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Proceeds to put my shirt in a, you know, in those plastic bags you get at a grocery store, brings it back the next day. Obviously, I have no idea about any of this. So, here's a wet, milk-soaked shirt that I have for the following day to wear.
What's the ambient temperature? Is it hot outside?
It's the summer. It's probably mid-May. However, more importantly, I'm not going to wear a wet milk shirt. You know, I'm not going to lose the bet, so I'm not just not going to wear it.
Right.
I take it to a hand dryer, hand dry it off. You know, one of those blow dryer deals?
Yeah.
Gets the locker room nice and stinky, heats up the milk. So now I smell like total shit. So I can't have any of that. Put some deodorant on it. And you know how you put, like, lemon on fresh fish, kind of brings out the flavor?
Sure.
Well, this deodorant seemed to have brought out some of that milk that was stuck in the fibers.
Did you vomit, Phil?
Nobody vomited. However, I'm happy to report we played a game in some close quarters that day. I don't remember the game, but and none of the girls in the class could stand by me. A couple of them had to quit the game because they couldn't stand the
smell. Is this a cotton shirt or synthetic fiber?
It's made out of marble, which has the lowest ulf.
So
marble. Marble has zero ulf.
Sweatshop probably printed that up for
us. So not cotton.
You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about the dryer. I miss those things. The blower. Because they have a button that you couldn't push, you had to punch it. There's no ginger way to depress that thing. You have to sock it. It's almost begging to be punched. I don't know why they design it that way, but you only have to punch it.
We have the very dryer in our apartment complex. You must strike it to get it to work.
The Why is that in your apartment complex?
I thought you were talking about a clothes dryer.
I think he's talking...
Our clothes dryer is the same thing.
He's talking about the one in the bathroom at the gym, where you just have to dry whack the thing. All right, this is fairly weak, because...
Yeah, first of all, you boil milk, and that doesn't spoil it.
Right.
Yeah. It just makes it tasty for, like, a latte or something.
Or a lovely cocoa.
Right. Maybe.
All right.
I'm going to have to give it a one.
Yeah, I'll give it a 1.5.
One of the lowest scoring hobo powers.
Yeah. Bill?
Yeah.
Last one. What do you got for us?
I used to work for a company that made industrial mixers and worked on a big scale of experiments in the lab. And one of the clients, they sent us this raw slurry of meat and vegetables for dog food. And it was left out in the sun. This was in July, so it was like in the upper 90s. And we had to put that stuff in a 55-gallon trash can and put it in our storage room over the weekend. And it proceeded to bubble over all over everything in that storage room. So come Monday, we had to come deal with that.
And you had to clean it up?
Yeah, we had to, both my boss and I had to clean it up.
How do you know when dog food's gone bad? I mean, how do you really know?
I don't... Yeah,
was it dry dog food?
No,
we both threw up. I mean, this stuff all the bacteria.
You really threw up?
It totally blew out. It was in one of those Rubbermaid 33-gallon trash cans.
Rotten meat is disgusting.
Rancid.
The top just totally blew off.
It's also kind of funny you realize your boss is way down on the totem pole. Yeah. Like, he's your boss, and then at some point some guy comes in with a cowboy hat and he's like, "Hey, doofus, put these knee pads on and start cleaning up that Alpo. Let's go." And he walks out of the room and you realize, wow, that's my boss? And then you think, how low must I be on the totem pole that this guy's my boss?
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Who screens these calls?
All right, you both yacked. You both threw up on each other and it was very homoerotic.
What did that smell like?
Well, what did you have to eat? Not really on each other, but one of the worst things was being the laboratory that we had. It had a holding tank from the floor drains, so we had to wash all that stuff into the floor drains, and then I had to go clean out the holding tank afterwards.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
All right, you're the winner. I'm giving you 17 on that.
That's a good number.
You threw up. That's disgusting.
The high water mark is 17 today?
Well, wasn't a banner week.
There's usually a corpse, at least one.
Yeah, but guys, someone died on the toilet. They're in Vegas. It's the middle of summer. The air conditioning breaks down. They're a heavy set woman. Corpse is rotting. I mean, that's normally what we're dealing with. This is some G-rated crap. All right, let's go for an outro here.
Hobo Power. Smell you next time.
And it's also called an Ulf.
Yeah, we learned something valuable.
Olfactory?
Oh, there you go.
Very good.
See, I need to be.
I was going with Oaf, which I've been called just three times alone today.
T-Bone.
Yep.
You got the rest of the news?
I do.
Powered up?
And now, the rest of the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, LeBron James and his mother, Gloria James, are being sued for millions by a man who claims he tried to prove he's the NBA star's biological father.
Oh, boy.
That could be anyone.
Yeah.
Now, he's saying LeBron and his mom tampered with the evidence in a cover-up. The lawsuit, which is explosive...
By the way, Fox just picked up LeBron and his mom. That's why they had to take that off the air.
Do they need a really tall neighbor?
Yeah, funny neighbor.
To make LeBron look abnormal?
You never see his face.
He looks Spanish.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem is LeBron and his mom.
Yeah, if Javier Bardem played, power forward for the Knicks.
Right.
That's who we're looking for. But he's got to be able to do a killer Fred Gwynn.
Yeah. LeBron, I'm a little worried about your mommy.
It's funny.
LeBron and my mom. Thank you. This crowd is killer.
Well, this 55-year-old man, Lester Bryce Stobel.
Are you wearing counties?
I am.
Answer him, Brian.
Sorry. All right.
Why do you ask?
I was going to work out the old thing. I think I have an idea. Come on. I'm joking.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a weird way of flirting with me, I feel better about it.
I was thinking the same thing about you. If that's flirting, this has got to. Ow! Ow! Come on!
What?
I'm Spanish.
Oh my God! Now take it back.
You have to take it back.
Take it back.
Take it back.
You
want to know how much Jameson she's going to have to drink today?
Give me some ketamine.
That's so cute.
That's she's how much it hurts.
She's Jewish, kidding.
Right?
Yeah. She's Jewish, right?
You tap this, right, Adam?
Oh, I would.
I know you.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
7 years? Seven and a half. Yeah, 8 years?
That's when it falls.
I don't know when it is. I got to go check. I got a book with pictures in it. It's got the date involved.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. This man is claiming to be LeBron James' father, is 55 years old. He claims he met Glory in a D.C. bar around 1984, had unprotected sex with her on the night they met.
We'll do the unprotected math.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Later found out she was 15 years old at the time he was 29.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So, good. So he walks out on his kid for his whole life,
right,
and then decides because he's worth millions, I'll come and sue him to be his dad now again.
Yeah.
Now, here are some things about
brother's
the father.
Brother's got it wired, doesn't
he?
Here are some things about the father that will probably surprise you.
Doing triple life.
Princeton graduate.
What?
Earned a law degree from the University of Chicago, then became a senior legal advisor for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission.
Jeez, I wish this dude was my dad.
Me too.
Wow.
No.
I wish LeBron was my dad.
Wow. Really.
He claims he has
Are you my mommy?
Go ahead.
Claims he had has a very clear recollection of the night he had, quote, consensual sexual relations with Gloria.
A 15-year-old has great recollection.
Sure.
Yeah, great recollection.
Sure, I was 29.
15 and 29.
She was 15.
No. Yeah.
He even remembers apologizing for his subpar performance. Now, he claims that's one of those details you tell to prove you're not lying.
Yeah.
I wasn't even good that night.
Yeah.
I couldn't even
does
get it
does the idiot know it's against the law? I mean, it's
an attorney.
There must
be,
obviously, there's a statute of limitations that must have run out on statutory, right?
So what, he come on her light bright or what? I mean, exactly what? How does it work?
It was on her strawberry shortcake.
Was it?
Really? No, that's
Speaking
what they used
that,
to.
Let me ask you something.
No, please don't.
Okay. All right.
Trying to hold on to the one shred of dignity I have left.
So, you have a lot. Come on.
Now, how would he know? How does he know?
Here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying.
Well, he's black. LeBron's black.
Right. So he's done that
math. He thinks they look alike. He's saying Gloria went back to her hometown in Ohio after that hookup, but returned several months later to inform him she was pregnant with a boy named LeBron. She did not identify the father, but he thought, wait a second, that's got to be my kid based on the timing.
Right.
He claims he reconnected with Gloria over the phone in 2007 when he began to think he could be LeBron's father based on the looks.
Sure.
He claims that
they
during
look nothing alike.
I'm looking at him.
They don't look very much
they look
alike.
Nothing alike.
Yeah. He could be Lamar Odom's dad.
He does look more like Odom.
Yeah. Leslie Uggams. Leslie Uggams' dad a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Those hacky Leslie Uggams references we're always hearing.
Oh, we always hear them. Kids love them.
Mm-hmm, it's new.
Yeah.
It's,
but I mean, look.
It's old is new again.
Look at Michael Jackson and Joe Jackson.
Okay.
Right. They don't look alike.
Well. I don't know. Like, wow. I mean, it's hard to tell with Michael Jackson.
Well, maybe if you're 15 and you're getting laid, maybe there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps, maybe.
Could, perhaps. That's a good point.
You know what
that
I mean?
That is a good point. If you're the type of gal that...
Well, does the math work out? Like, LeBron is, 23, 24?
Looks,
I don't know what he
looks,
is.
He looks like Witherspoon. Doesn't he, a little bit? He looks 50.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's another
Tim
one.
Witherspoon?
He looks far older than his years.
Really does.
And is he...
And there's his dad dunking.
His dad,
and look, they're both right-handed.
His dad was also an athlete in high school?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Same
well,
dunk.
How about a little DNA, whatever?
Well, now here's what happened. He agreed to take a DNA paternity test.
The dad?
Yes. He claims he was given results that showed he was not LeBron's dad. But several months later, he began to suspect that the results had been tampered with and that Gloria and LeBron were behind the fraud.
Well,
let me ask you, what if he is? Why is he entitled to anything?
Doesn't entitle him to anything. But what about, Shaq Fu's dad came back into the picture at some point.
Shaq Fu's?
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq Fu's dad was like a military guy, like a drill sergeant or something?
That was stepdad.
Stepdad, they were calling him captain or colonel.
Oh, yeah, but listen, let's be honest. I hate to sound racist here, but we don't have, if the NBA, if all dads, this is a horrible precedent, because if every dad wandered back into the life of every guy in the NBA,
we'd have
they'd have
the
to
ABA.
Shut down the whole fucking
we'd
league.
We have the ABA.
Yeah.
We could bring back that.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, watching Dad dunk from, 1982 or whenever it was. So,
can you dunk?
No, I could dunk a volleyball when I was like,
okay.
Up to
but
like
you had
30.
Some game. You had a little.
A little bit. Okay. It wasn't my sport. It was more football, baseball. But so do we know the dad? So is the deal that LeBron James's mom is 38 years old or something like that?
She's young because obviously she was 15. Well, according to this suit.
Right.
She was 15 when she was impregnated.
Mm-hmm.
So all right. She had him young, and he's suing for $4 million from LeBron and his mom, claiming fraud, defamation, and misrepresentation. He's saying that they're trying to make it look like LeBron's life was like the movie He Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want it to be that he was, from a single
parent
family.
It's on TMZ, so it's got to right. have weight.
Got to be true.
Well, keep us posted.
Well, earlier, Brad,
you think Howie Levin should come out of the closet?
Harvey?
Yeah. Is it Harvey or Howie?
I think Harvey's out of it.
I think he's out.
He is not out.
Oh, he's not out.
Wait, I used to work there.
Oh, he's not out of the closet.
He's got to come out.
Oh.
He's got to.
Well,
because having Jewish parents, she'd throw a party. I mean, they love that stuff.
Really. Do they? I thought they hated that stuff.
No, not the Jews. They love it.
They would judge. Torch Song trilogy. Harvey Fierstein was upset about it.
Yeah, but it's Harvey. I mean, that would kill any parent.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah. There he is.
I was
okay.
He's very private about his personal life.
He is.
Yeah. And he has a show that promotes that.
But there
isn't that weird?
It's a little odd.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it looks like he took a batch right there. I mean, who has their friggin'
teeth
like
the military.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
God bless him.
Took a batch.
How do you go
from get on your knees, dumbass!
How do you go from being Rusty the Bailiff's bitch, right? As a lawyer, I mean, your parents, I'm sure they spent every dime to get this poor guy to become a lawyer.
Right.
He becomes Rusty, and then it's... I'd do him.
Yeah.
I'd do him.
I would pay to watch that.
Would you really?
I really would.
What would the oaf be on Harvey Levin?
Wow.
Oh, my God. He's not a tall man.
No.
I tower.
No. Yeah.
Maybe that's part of... Maybe he has that Napoleon thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be like me fucking a throw pillow.
Would you watch that? I'd watch that.
Good olf factor.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That would bring... That has to be a 9 olf, right?
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I go double digit or I go home.
I hear you.
That's the way I look at it. Sorry, T.
Very
next
nice
story.
Man. Very
all right, T-Bone. What else you got?
Well, earlier, I think you were going to pose the age-old question, oral or intercourse, in so many words.
For?
In general.
In general.
What would Adam be more interested in?
Mm-hmm. I think all guys, because we're kind of lazy. I think mm-hmm. I just think that oral's better. What would you...
Well, there's a symbolic part of intercourse.
Symbolic. Wait.
Where you're connecting.
No. What? Where you just want to say you fucked it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where you're connecting.
But once you get past
that. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
That's where you're
gibberish.
Going with the, with the symbolic
wouldn't you
part
rather,
of intercourse.
Wouldn't you rather have a guy go down on you than be fucked by a guy? I mean,
no.
So if you... Really?
No.
Well,
you
now,
are a liar.
She's so self-conscious.
Well, no, she didn't have it. How could you be self-conscious?
You freaked her out. That's
why. Why would I freak her out?
You told her to keep her legs crossed because of the old factor. Believe me, she's a neurotic tape recorder.
There isn't a woman alive that wouldn't rather have that than the other.
No.
Than an old, dirty,
no,
bad bone.
No, of course. No, I would much rather.
Really?
Because there's the connection.
Oh, Jesus.
And if I'm ranking.
No, you're up in your head, too.
Yeah, I get distracted and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But if I'm ranking, I would even put giving before receiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's the
wow.
Old, oh, that's
I wish
the old
you said something earlier.
I find it interesting.
Interesting.
I'd rather
give than take.
No, yeah. I don't mean in any other
I
ways.
Could
I'm not
feel
saying
myself
I'm a martyr.
Losing a house by buying that property.
No.
I made the mistake of buying my soulmate, of marrying my soulmate.
Then what happened?
She wanted to give instead of take. And then,
no, I'm not saying any other facet of life, but
right.
I actually don't. I don't find that
so
to be unpleasant.
Head,
I don't find
great.
It unpleasant.
Well, no, it's
know.
Not unpleasant. But I mean, you know, do you feel guilty when you come?
Oh my God!
No, I'm just wondering if you feel guilty.
No.
LeBron's a real dad.
You feel
here.
Guilty if you don't.
I have an important news story.
What do you think of this,
about the
Brad?
World
what do you think about this for faking? Here's my advice for the ladies who fake.
Okay.
Don't fake every time.
Right.
Hold one back every like 8 or 9
of course.
Sexual encounters. The guy will never catch on.
Of course.
And you just do that thing where you're like, ugh, I'm sorry, honey, but yeah. Oprah had that lady who the monkey tore her face off, and I can't concentrate. I just can't concentrate.
I love that.
She pulled her hands off and sodomized her with her own fingers, and I'm sorry. Let me blow you.
Right.
I'm talking to you, Brad.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I like to give to monkeys more than women.
Yeah.
So I think
Brad's been burned.
Yeah. Brad's. Well,
I got to tell you something. I really haven't been burned. I just think it is what it is, you know?
Brad, did you get screwed in your marriage? You take a lot of money?
No, actually,
nothing like that?
You know something? I got what I had coming to me. She was a wonderful gal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a great lady and a great mom. And, you know, it was me. And I get that. But in the same realm, mm-hmm. I do believe that, to sit here and say, I'd rather give than receive.
Why not?
Just in that one instance.
It's low self-esteem. Leave her alone.
No,
she shouldn't have low self-esteem. And I think a day with me could turn that all around.
Get rid Brad, of the when you were
off to a bad start with the old.
Did you get into trouble? Did you cheat? Did infidelities caught running around?
The wife
like
smelled
that?
A couple Ulfs on your.
Hey, I smell new Ulf on your cock.
That's some strange.
Listen, it's strange Ulf.
You got to be near the cock to smell it.
Right.
Okay, that's how it went.
Yeah.
No, not at all. No. She's a good. She's a good life. She's a good.
God bless her.
Any kids?
Just got two wonderful kids, boy and girl.
Oh, that's good.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, everyone has their own take on divorce. So when you get married, you know, no one plans on getting divorced. But at the end of the day, no matter what you go through, and, you know, there are times you go through stuff. You got to, and maybe this is because I went through a ton of ugly divorces when I was a kid. But so it's the last thing you ever think would happen. But you got to remember, it's going to get ugly. But you have to remind yourself, that is your, and I know it sounds corny, but anyone with kids will get this, but that is your kid's mom. And that is their dad, and you got to try to keep it somewhat civil in that way, because it's a nightmare for children, and it's nothing that they signed up for, and the ugliness is enough of it just breaking up a home. You know, when it gets crazier, you hear things that the exes do, you know.
I'm really...
It's difficult.
It's really pathetic, sad, and it shows just how, you know, sort of self-centered and weak we are as human beings, that a lot of marriages that end in divorce distill down to whatever, some ugly vitriolic whatever,
yes,
with the kids and like in front
That's
of the
right.
kids, you know.
That's
like
right.
Tell your dad the reason I'm not talking to him
the
is
worst.
And it's
the
so
worst.
Sad yet it's pervasive,
yeah.
And it's really pathetic considering you're
done
dealing
all
with
the time.
You're dealing with 30 and 40 something year old adults dealing with 9 and 10 year old kids,
yep.
You'd think this is the kind of thing that would be a rare occurrence. That my parents did the exact same thing. They couldn't stand each other. They couldn't
Mine
see
too.
Each other. It was
Mine
just,
too.
It's so damaging.
It is. It is very
I know
damaging.
You think about little Sonny, Jesse James kid,
right.
And all the shit she has to hear about her mom and her dad.
Mm-hmm. And how old? How old were your parents when they got divorced?
How old were they or how old was I?
Or how old were you? Sir?
I was 7.
So, like, look at little, not in front of little Brad.
Or giant Brad.
But he's 6'8" and a half.
He's in his boots.
But, yeah, but his mind is like a
he won't
fetus.
Put down the sitter.
Put the sitter down.
Yes. And that's what it was like. I mean, you know, I think everything evolves, including relationships and marriage. And I think it rarely ever goes in that one direction. I just, you know, how happy are you? No one's listening.
No,
trust
okay.
me.
I mean, in my marriage or just in general?
Well, in general, I know you're miserable because we all are.
Right.
But I mean, in your marriage,
well,
it's difficult.
You know what?
You have kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So here's how I am. I don't really have things in my life that are in my life on a constant basis that bring me happiness. Because they no longer can bring me happiness because they're in my life. Only things that are outside of my life can bring me happiness.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's inside, that's just my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once you enter my snow globe, you're just one of the townspeople.
Okay.
I know you. I'm happy. I'm happy that I don't have cancer. I'm happy that my kids are healthy. But the word isn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of satisfied or content
you've
or what have
up.
You.
You've given up.
I've given up.
Well, you don't have moments of euphoria or ecstasy with the people in your globe.
No, but to me, I like it. It all kind of depends what you're looking for, because if you're looking for sort of highs and lows and a crazy roller coaster ride, which some people really are, like, they like it.
Yeah.
They like that. I don't like they the like roller coaster edge. Part
yeah,
of life.
Yeah, the emotional
I like
drama
the smooth emotion. Part of life. You know, Dr. Drew has a nutty wife. I tell right. him all the time. His answer to me is, I know. I like it.
So what's his trip?
I don't know.
He likes the drama, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes
it. And
that's why some people cheat, because it's interesting. It's dramatic. All of a sudden, there's this new person, and they're mm-hmm. texting you, and you have to hide it. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. I'm like you. I don't want that kind of excitement. I've had already enough turmoil. I want something
Are you married?
Stable. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm
How
I'm
long?
Content.
2 years.
Yeah. I'm content.
It'll never last.
Which is...
no, I'm just telling you.
I'm content with everything
last.
In my life.
It'll never last.
Really?
One of them in this... How about you, Fester? Are you married?
Indeed, I am.
Okay. 1 year.
1 year.
There'll be someone in this room in 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Well, wait
Yuri
a second.
Geller, everyone. It's a 50-50 chance. Yeah.
Well, no, it's already you, 80, 80, so 20. One other of us.
One
yeah.
Other.
What
well, it's not going to be Brian because his parents are still married.
Yeah.
So
between
what
me and
does
T.
That mean?
This is a great it's example.
Unlikely. It's unlikely.
How do you know what's an example of? How do you
well,
know
this
how
is statistical. If the woman's parents were divorced, the chances
really
of getting divorced
right?
are
okay.
much higher.
So I'm fucked.
Yeah. This is just between me and T.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. That's a tough one. I think we're both going to make it.
Well, I think you're going to get divorced because I got more shit and I don't want to part with it.
I don't know. I know I don't
you
have
want
any
something?
Shit.
Out of all the married people you know, if it didn't come down to children or finances, mm-hmm. would any of them be together?
Well, the ones who are remarried to much younger women?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That for another 6 months?
Yeah.
Yes. I can honestly say yes to my buddy Daniel, who's
there you go.
Married a 28-year-old.
Yes. See, that's good
right.
for Dan.
Right.
I'm dating a young chick. I'm going through a midlife crisis. I'm loving it.
How old?
Really? How old?
26.
Wow.
26.
Yeah.
Having the time of my life.
What's LeBron's dad's name again?
How did you meet this 26-year-old?
Met her at a bar in Philly. You heard the story. D.C.
Met her at an art gallery, believe it or not.
Really?
Better than art gallery.
Pretending to be interested in the art?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. I was pretending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah. But, you know, it is. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I figure she'll be with me till I croak. I say, look, give me the best years of my life, and you're still in your mid-40s, and you...
Right.
You roll, and you know, and you get all the shit
Between
I have that's
not paid
for. The
stress and the travel and the gigantism, yeah, she's going to take over. She's going to be driving your car when she's in her early 40s, you know what I mean? She'll take right over. No, women. The joke is the women live 10 years longer, and then we're dating some chick who's 20 years younger than we are. Do the math.
Why not? Why not, though?
I say God bless you in your boots. All right, T.
Well, yeah, we got to wrap it up, and I never even got to my story about the Dutch porn star that offered to give oral sex to...
because he loves to give more than he receives.
No, I'm saying, not in general. I'm not saying I'm a great human being.
I think
in
we
that
should
one
find
area.
Out. I think we should find out.
In that one area, I don't mind it.
There's a little like who's on first with the Dutch porn star. Like, all right, you want to split the whore? That's fine. We'll go Dutch on her. No, she's... Bert, you misunderstand. She's Dutch. Yeah. I'll pay half, and then you pay half, and we'll pull a train on her. No. Dutch. Yeah. We're going to work that out. Work that who's on first bit out there, Paul.
If Brian. The Netherlands wins the World Cup,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Eden is offering oral sex to all of her Twitter followers.
Eden.
Is that
Bobby
right?
Eden?
Bobby Eden. Bobby with an I.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Dutch porn star.
Oh. He or she?
Bobby with an I is a she.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
not,
when you're Dutch, who the fuck knows?
No, that's true. No, this is a she, and if her home country takes the title...
Wow, is that her?
Wow, I got to sign up for a Twitter account. Yeah,
and then wait for the Netherlands.
Oral? And how does that work? Do you just start to queue up in front of her apartment, or how's that work?
But what if I want to connect and I want anal? Can I, because I want to feel...
Wow, she's nice looking. All right.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
I think she has about 5,000 followers. I have a feeling she's going to have a few more.
Wow.
It's not a bad idea to promote your Twitter page.
Yeah.
Through
I mean,
sex,
you
know, especially.
Yeah. Brad was just sending out hoodies, but hey, you got to step it up, Brad.
He has some old Till Death tote bags he's giving
I got a ton of them.
Yeah,
I got a
koozies.
Ton of them. Got all that.
And with
coffee
that,
mugs.
I will wrap the news.
The news with Teresa Strasser. Eat a dick, MSNBC.
Yeah.
That clip from 2010 featuring the very tall, very lovely Brad Garrett. And of course, some news from Teresa as well. Now let's get going with a clip from 2017. And this is Adam getting ready to interview Sylvester Stallone, the actual one.
Yeah, the actual Stallone. This is Adam Carolla Show, 2197. Phoner from Laura Ingraham, Chad Prather, not in this portion, just Gina Grad and Brian Bishop from the show opening. Adam talks about the big interview with Stallone and a little funny anecdote with Mike August trying to film it and take questions without a microphone. Check it out.
Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
No.
Yes, Spacey checking out his junk in the beer line, man. And that's when he knew he was gay. All right.
So you're coming off a big high, huh?
Yeah, I was at the LA Convention Center last night doing a thing with Stallone, and Mike was out in the audience. 16,000 people.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. And nice. Mike took the vid of it, and then he did that thing which happened to me a few years ago with Lynette, as I kept saying, go landscape, and it took a while. Multiple arguments, but eventually I got her to go landscape. But in the interim, there was the holding it up and then going landscape, and the thing tipped over. The
changing it midstream without stopping and starting doesn't have
Hold on a second, though. Are we living in the, you know, the crazy technological future, or is everything just sort of still stupid? Like, I feel like the phone, you know, when you hold the phone, you're like reading or looking at a picture or reading some emails, and then you turn it landscape style. It just turns around for you, you know?
Yeah.
This happens all day, every day, times a kajillion things, where people start filming one way, and then they turn it the other way, and they don't stop it and reboot it.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that? Like, it can't...
I was going to say, I can't think of a reason why someone would change that. And it wouldn't want to reorient.
Yeah, know, why? Because it when you're looking at it, it reorients.
Yeah,
it's so
yeah,
you
if you're
are,
looking at a photo. Yeah.
No, not a photo. If you're looking at what you're filming.
Oh, I see.
It reorients, right, Gary?
Yes, but once you start a video,
no, I understood. But yeah. I mean, look, yes, I'd like to yell how dumb Mike is, but it's kind of a weird thing. You start it this way,
looking through the lens,
right? And so you're assuming what you're seeing is how it's filming, but it's doing it vertically. But we turned it over. We'll show you guys. Go to AdamCarolla.com and take a look.
I'm sorry.
Pump it up.
Are there multiple pyrotechnics?
Dude, we're looking at a Metallica situation.
Oh my God! Kiss Destroyer tour.
Now Mike's focusing
on the woman's head in front of him.
Yeah, all right. So Stallone and I are out on stage for about 40 minutes, and he's great. Now, a couple things, few cool things.
Is August
cool
drunk? Things.
Yeah, I wish he was. Few cool things about Stallone, as Mike brought up after we were on stage, but it's true. He's a writer at heart.
Yeah.
All he talks about is writing. His entire thing was about writing Rocky, about writing every day. About when you talk to Stallone, he doesn't talk. Well, he talks to me about boxing, but he doesn't talk about acting or being the action hero or any of that. Everything he talks about comes through the filter of writer, which is just a bizarre. It's something you wouldn't think about. Also,
yeah, nominated for best screenplay for Rocky.
I can't give away. Everyone knows. Oh, he famously he wrote the film, and then they wanted somebody else to be in the lead, but he wanted to do it, and blah blah blah, and the rest is history. But you just don't think of him in writing,
right?
That's all he thinks about is writing, and then he'll act in it or not act in it. Of course, there's a follow up to Creed.
Okay.
And we were backstage, and he was bouncing ideas off me.
He was pitching. God, he was spitballing.
He was pitching, and he was, and it's too big a...
Funny you should ask, Sly. I have a boxing movie.
Oh, there it is.
Too big a... It'd be too much to tell you what I was told. Like, it'd be too much of a spoiler alert. But we were going through pictures on his phone, okay. and he was showing me boxers and guys. And it's okay. it's kind of an interesting thing.
Storylines, plot lines, and things like that?
We were talking about that, the story, how it worked. Mm-hmm. If you think about the first one, now you think about the follow-up.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting, smart stuff, but also literally just looking at guys going, this guy's too tall, but he looks great, but how's he going to look against
Michael B. Jordan.
Sounds like my Tinder profile.
But it was kind of fun. The kids had a great time. The kids went back and took a picture. And then we went out on stage and tore it up. This good storyteller, very motivated guy.
How long did it go? The talk.
Well, now you can appreciate. All right. If anyone wants to know my life, here's my life. Here's everything you know about my life. Here's how it works. So Bill Zanker gets hold of me. Also, people listening, you have no idea how little everything is planned out. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. Okay. First things first. Submit 5 questions to ask Sylvester Stallone on stage. I'm never interested in that, but okay, they want them in advance. Okay. But they don't want them. He doesn't want them. Right. Somebody wants them. Somebody who's going to be accused of not doing their job wants them. So submit the questions. So I do what I do whenever someone says submit questions. I just go, finally, I write 10 questions and then show me. And the first 5 suck, and 6 through 10 is good. And I go,
6 through 10 are about Cobra.
Yeah. Just go give them that one. Give them that one. Then they give them that one. And then
question number 9, also in Cobra.
Yeah. Then they
last one.
Then they approve the 5, and then at some point Matt prints it out and he hands it to me, and then I'm reading it when I'm standing, somewhere yesterday, and I'm like, this doesn't seem like the ones we submitted. And it's like, oh yeah, they did their own. So now we've already wasted this part of our lives. And then I got the paper and I'm like, okay, so they submitted these and we submitted them, and then they tweaked them, and then they sent them back. Like, how close to the script are we sticking to, and what does he care about?
Mr. Stallone, why do you think you're so great?
Well, I mean, if you find, tell Matt to find the questions, because if you find the questions, like the first question is pretty wordy and pretty whatever, and also I don't want to stand up there and read the question in front of 16,000 people and smoke pods and pyrotechnics and everything. So I just see him backstage, or he has a green room set up, and I just said, what do you want to do? And he does the ask me anything, which is celebrities are always the person that says ask me anything, but it's their people that need to know in advance. Stick to the script, or at least have a script. Mm. So he just sort of said, yeah, whatever you want. And I said, fine. And so we just started talking. And
from Asinio, you flipped the script.
I never even brought the piece of paper out there with me. And so here's my life. If anyone wants to know my life, here is my life. Bill Zanker, the most excitable man in the world, is pumped because there's 16,000 people out there, and Stallone's going to go up on stage, and they're going to go nuts. Read the first question, Gary, and tell me if you could picture standing on stage in front of 16,000 people and reading that question.
Today, you are a global icon, but it didn't all start like that. Can you take us back to some of the beginning days? What was your life like back then, and what motivated you to become what you are today?
Right.
There's something about that doesn't seem very English as a first language.
The hard-hitting stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So I talked to Zanker.
Really tighten the screws.
I talked to Zanker, and Zanker goes, and here's my life, and here's all you need to know. I go, how much time do you want us to be up on stage for? And he goes, well, we got him booked for, his eyes start bugging out, he's booked for 30 minutes, but you go as long as you want, man. You go as long as you can go. Just have, keep going. Keep going. But
someone tells Adam Carolla to go long. Yeah. He starts salivating.
I'm like, okay, but we got a 30 minutes. We got a 30 minutes, right? Yeah, he's booked to do a 30 minutes, but keep, there's 16,000 people out there. They're going crazy. They'll take whatever we can get them. Every second over a 30 minutes, man, that's gravy time for us. You go as long as you want to go. And I go, okay. And then 2 minutes later, the stage manager walks in and he goes, okay, we're going to start whatever. And he goes, keep it to a 30 minutes. Keep it tight.
We got a hard 30.
And I go, I was told we're going as long as we can go. Oh, no. We got to turn this place over. and we got to keep it to a tight 30. And I said, yeah, but Zanker said, yeah, I know. He's Zanker. He's a promoter. I run this place.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, 30 minutes. So we keep it to a tight 30. We'll have a countdown clock for you out there. You'll look down. Literally have teleprompters going to like wrap it up for 30 seconds. And I go, okay, so tight 30. Yeah, tight 30. Okay, that guy leaves. Bill Zanker back into the room. Bill, I talked to stage manager. He said tight 30. He said he didn't want to go over it. I don't want Bill Zanker when I wrap it up right at 30 going, what the hell? They could have gone for another 20 minutes. You know, what? I said, I just talked to stage manager. He said they got to turn this whole place around. And he said, tight 30. Zanker replies, this is my event.
Yeah, that's he's.
We'll do what I want. Mm-hmm. And you go as long as you want to go. So I go, okay. So now we're on stage. And of course,
Zanker's giving me a thumbs up.
As we're counting down, as the clock counts down and it gets to like 41 seconds, I do like one last question to him about, you know, motivation and what this daily routine is or whatever it is. And he does it, and then all the teleprompters are reading rap, rap, rap. The teleprompters don't say anything other than instructions. Like wrap it up, wrap it up. It all says wrap it up, and then Sly goes to 16,000 people and no microphone in the crowd. Who's got a question?
Wow.
Amazing.
He's a real man of the people.
In which case, a guy just starts shouting out something incoherently that we can't hear from upstage. And it's like, we were just leaving. We're just walking upstage.
Really climbed that mountain.
I think we established who's in charge.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that to me instantly was the difference between the promoter and the stage manager. Yeah. You know, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To the stage manager, keep the clock, you know, keep everything tight on time. Keep all the trains running on time.
Yeah.
It's his job.
So what happened? So you tried to suss out some audience?
We answered a couple of questions. Sly did a sort of funny routine about his schedule, getting what time he gets up, what time he heads into the, you know, down to the kitchen, heads, you know, starts, sits down to write. But it's interesting. Same story, you know, super poor, you know, just going out. No one wanted to hire him to act. And he ended up thinking, I need to write, not act. And, you know, and it's true. Like, he had like a little bit of a speech impediment, was like, had a sort of a weird, sort of interesting look, but not traditional, not for back then.
So many guys that ended up becoming huge breakout stars, Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, those types of guys had like the one. It's almost like the flaw they say in the perfume. Like, there's one ingredient that smells terrible, but it's that one ingredient that amongst all the others makes it kind of makes you want to come back for it. It's like that one flaw that, you know, would not get you hired, quote unquote, makes you a special performer, an A-list, you know, a memorable star, the Schwarzenegger, you know, accent and the Stallone's impediment or whatever it is.
Was there any hot Frank Stallone talk?
No, although we do both.
Do not ask.
We do. No, he does enjoy Frank. He does. And no, his the kids and the old lady are on the East Coast. Told him perfect time to watch the hammer. slipped him the hammer. So we'll see if he watches that, as well as the 24-hour war and winning race.
What was his reception? What was his reaction to being handed the hammer? Must have been gracious.
Punches. Well, it was good. He does a lot of punching and stuff. He was I slipped the hammer, and I said, you know, and I get it. People hand you stuff, and it seems like backyard junk. People are making backyard videos and stuff. But I said, you know, here's the Rotten Tomato scores, and he looked down and he went, a lot higher than mine. So I said, okay.
Crumple up, throw away.
Wipe his ass with it, throw it back at me. So we shall see. I will keep you posted. Really, the bottom line with these people are, the gatekeepers are the publicists. The celebs just kind of go through life with stuff heading, dodging stuff or avoiding stuff or having stuff piling up. The publicist, so I said, I think he's going to enjoy this movie. It's in this bag. Can you make sure it gets home with him and whatever? And she said, I'll take care of it. And she seemed pretty sincere. So we'll see. Because that's the person who is going to make sure. If that person is not on your side, that person is basically working the guard shack of this person's life.
Yep.
And he'll never hit that switch that opens the gate for you if that person doesn't like you. No matter how much the person inside the mansion would like to see you or hear what you have to say, you'll never get through that guard shack. All right.
Did Sonny Corolla get to meet Sly Stallone?
Yeah, Sonny was back there, and so was Natalia. And I don't know who took pictures. Ask Sonny or ask Lynette to send them to you, or ask Sonny or Natalia. I think they took them.
What was Sonny's takeaway?
They were pretty pumped up about it. Although, you know how people are. They always kind of reel it in a little when they see the person in person and all that stuff.
And that was Adam talking about interviewing Sylvester Stallone, sprinkled in with everybody's favorite travel buddy, Mike August.
And some landscape mode versus portrait mode complaining.
Yeah, that actually started a big thing to where for years, even today, if anything's filmed vertically, which I think is a lot, we've been a lot more forgiving as a society to vertical video these days. Anything that was filmed vertically, we would get destroyed by listeners saying, why is it vertical? Landscape.
Very interesting. With the, I guess, probably with the video and Instagram and like TikTok type stuff where you're filming in that portrait mode mostly, I guess people have finally come around to it. But
yeah,
that's interesting. You guys have observed a decline of complaints about aspect ratios. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, there's definitely a decline. I think a lot of it is people are watching on their phones now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're more used to it with those other apps and stuff.
Yeah.
It's Quibi. Quibi fixed it for everybody.
Thank you, Quibi. All right, let's get going with one more clip. Got a Rotten Tomatoes game.
Adam Carolla Show 1875, the 84th installment of the game. This is Heather McDonald, Ted Balaker, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. The guests on this portion is just Gina, Brian, and Adam playing the Rotten Tomatoes game without Matt.
All right, you going to do it, Dawson?
Yeah, and I know very little about any of these movies, so big apologies in advance.
Okay.
For the theme this week.
You
want to hear
a song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's the guy with the fresh and rotten movie game. Now it's time.
All right, so the theme is movies that don't have the word avocado in the title.
Yes.
All right, so that narrows it down.
That and...
Oh, and?
And the actors from Suicide Squad.
Ooh.
Okay. So it's going to be actors from each actor from the movie.
When's that coming out?
This weekend.
Friday, yeah. This weekend. Brian, you were all over that one, right?
I have guardedly high hopes.
Okay.
Guarded.
All right.
All right. We will start out with a movie where Will Smith, a young Will Smith, makes out with, I believe it's Anthony Michael Hall. In 1993's Six Degrees of Separation.
Hmm. Well, that Hall took over the world by storm, but whatever happened to the Will, what's his last name?
Will something. Jones?
Sanders?
It's a really plain name.
It's Smith.
Smith. Oh, it's a basic name. All right. I should have known that. Wow. All right. We should.
You guys ever see this?
Yeah, yes. I haven't seen all of it, but I remember it was Will Smith's dramatic breakout role, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, he was really young. As Phil Rosenthal would say, this is a play.
Literally.
Uh-huh. Literally, this is a play.
It was a play.
Yes. Is this a Mammoth thing or somebody else?
No, it's right. Not Mammoth.
All right, so we should. I can't remember if it was good or bad, but I think the critics probably liked Will Smith going against Fresh Prince
oh,
of
sure.
Bel-Air
he was
type,
just known as this kind of jokey rapper almost at this
and
point.
And he was gay. Was he gay?
In the movie.
Revealed to be gay in the movie.
All right. That's 6% there. I'm going to say, but I didn't, I mean, I sound like half of it. I don't remember thinking it was great. Okay. I'm going to go with 71%.
Oh, no. The critics must have gone nuts for this. I wouldn't be shocked if it was higher, but I said 92.
Wow. Oh, I agree with Brian. I went solid 88.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's on the nose.
Mm.
6 degrees of Separation is fresh at 88%.
Yes. Wait a minute. When the people have it at? I didn't factor in my own critic bias here.
Yeah, man, this is
people have
critic
it at,
bait.
At 71%. The audience, sorry, has it at 71%. See, I'm a man of the people. All right, so that's a 10-point deduction for me, 5 for Gina.
Yep,
keep moving.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, so Viola Davis is also in this movie.
And I didn't see that coming.
She makes the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
And one time she was in a Madea movie. 2009.
Madea.
Madea goes to jail.
What?
Oh, man.
The Viola Davis was in a Madea movie.
I have not seen a Madea movie.
You must.
Adam will have to rely on you.
You must see the first one so that you can confuse people in the same room with you.
Okay. How so?
Well, you got to remember, Tyler Perry came out. It was like a big deal. Like Tyler Perry started building 10 million square foot studios in Atlanta. Tyler Perry's all over Oprah. Tyler Perry. And so you're sitting there and you're watching Tyler Perry be interviewed. And Oprah's like, it's amazing what you're doing for the community. It's amazing what you're doing for African Americans. They're bridging the gap and showing them. And then you cut to the huge black woman pistol whipping her maid because she folded her panties wrong.
Hallelujah.
And it's like, Tyler, you're not pushing the movement ahead. You have a grandmother pulls out a gun every time she goes into a dry cleaner and something's the gravy stain isn't taken out and yelling, I'll put a cap in your ass.
Does it have to be gravy?
That's not. I didn't say what color it was. Okay. Could have been white.
Yeah, good point.
That's not pushing the movement along. That's an embarrassing stereotype, which you will look back on this one day and it will be right up there with Amos and Andy and everything else cringeworthy stuff. But not only that, horribly written. Just the beginning of the first Tyler Perry movie, and this is why I had to get Lynette to watch, because I had to get her to watch for her to go, what is this? And I said, it's a feature film. And she went, really? It's not a movie of the week or something? It's shot Sharknado-esque. It's horribly shot, horrifically written. And the beginning was super rich guy from Atlanta, lived in a castle. Gary will find a picture. It's driving me nuts. I mean, he lived in a stately manor, and he has his hot black wife. And they did these two things. They just go to some dinner where he accepts lawyer of the year or something, and then they go home, and they get in a big argument, and it's smash cut to he's taken all of her stuff and thrown it on their circular driveway and said, now get out of here. And then, by the way, I'm taking all your credit cards and I'm cutting them up. And so he cuts up all the credit cards. And now she's standing out in the driveway going, I got no money. I got nowhere to go. We've been married to this guy for 22 years. You live in a castle. And guess who owns the castle now? You do. You made this movie in 2007. You think you could just take everything out of her closet, throw it out in the lawn, and just cut the credit cards in half and go, oh, and the ATM card's in there, too.
It's the way a child would think about how a relationship ends.
Then they do this move. Hate this move. The good-looking guy drives the U-Haul, comes and picks her up. You know what I mean?
Of course. Could it be any other way?
And they're driving around, and they do this move. She's got all her junk. She's wiping the tears around. Fakest part of every movie, but it's in a lot of movies. He's driving. They show him pull out the driveway. Then they cut into the car, and it's like his line. Man, I've been circling this city for 3 hours. Have you figured out a place to go yet? And it's like, isn't that a conversation you would have had 2.5 hours ago? you just bite your lip for the first 180 minutes. And
well,
then,
she's pretty.
We're looking at the picture of the house, Gary.
I'm told. The first movie was called Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
It's like Downton Abbey.
They lived in a giant, giant house. He threw her out. And then at some point, she ended up at Medea's house. And she's like, I got nowhere to go, Madea. And then Madea's like, look, where's my 44? I'm going to pop a cap in his ass. And then go back in, and she starts chainsawing furniture and stuff. And it's like, I'm not buying this premise because the house is 27. Michael Jordan's house is scared of this house. And she's rich. He's rich. And as much as I wish we lived in a world where you got to just take the belongings of your wife and throw it on the driveway and cut up all the credit cards.
As a utopian
society as you created, sadly, we've got a long way to go. We're not there yet. Oh, we're making strides, but we're not there yet.
So what year was this, Dawson?
2009.
And which one was this in the series? Horrible.
This is the first one.
No.
Oh, no, not this one. The first one was 2005. Yeah, and this was, I don't know. But it's a horrible, horrible piece of writing.
So
Tyler Perry's an embarrassing writer.
I don't know if this helps or not, but this comes fourth in the film series.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of them.
Just the part where he'd sit on Oprah and talking about positive role models for black communities. And she would just be threatening everyone with violence and pistol whipping. That was something. I'd probably use a little less of that in that community, but all right. That's me. Hey, I can't weigh in. Right, Huffo? No.
At least using the guns to hit each other.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a step, again, a step toward the
cut
line.
That out. Cut that out, please.
All right.
So this is a but how bad situation.
It's got to be. Because by this time, the bloom is off the rose. Like, no one cared. Before, it was just, we liked the idea of this guy making films on his own. Now, they're horrible. Title one more time. Oh, we go to prison?
Jail.
Medea goes to jail.
Following the same trajectory as Ernest did 20 years before.
And Pee Wee.
Vern.
And Pee Wee.
Big Top Medea.
All right. 11%.
Wow.
I took a risk and went the other way. I feel like by this point in the series, they know what these movies are. And I said 55%.
Whoa. Ooh. 20 here.
Medea Goes to Jail is rotten.
Oh.
At 29%.
Ooh.
All
right, I'll take it. Wow. Gina, to an almost insurmountable lead.
Oh, you know I always find a way to screw it up.
Wow. All right.
Damn it. Did you guys know Jared Leto got another gig?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's in this movie.
So oh, that's right.
Nice to see him working again.
So we'll go back to a movie that I saw, and he definitely gave a forgetful performance.
Forgetful.
I have no idea where he was in this movie. 1998.
That could mean he was great.
It was. Oh, yeah. Might. Maybe. 1998. The Thin Red Line.
Oh my God. He was
in
this.
There were 35 named actors in this.
Yeah. Who went on to do a million things. So you could have easily lost him in this.
All the actors were like in military fatigue, so you probably wouldn't have even noticed it.
Yeah, his character is Second Lieutenant White. I pulled this game together and on last minute notice, so I wasn't aware that this was such a small part.
Was he still Jordan Catalano at this point? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
From my so-called life.
Oh. It's definitely possible, but I don't know.
All right, so the movie
1998.
The movie did well. Yeah, Nick Nolte, Woody Harrelson,
Terrence Malick.
There are tons. Okay.
John Penn.
the critics liked it. Did they love it? I don't remember loving it.
I hated this movie.
Oh, okay.
I fell asleep in this movie.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
That could mean 74%.
This is Terrence Malick's big comeback movie. He hadn't made a movie in something like 15 or 20 years. Critics went nuts for this movie, unnecessarily, I think. I say 93.
Mm.
Yeah, I really don't remember much about it, but that cast,
God,
man.
God, this movie was tedious.
It's a 7 Academy Award nominations, 81.
The Thin Red Line is certified fresh at 78%.
Yes.
You're almost right on there.
I was 74. What was yours? 81?
81.
Oh, Gina, with that first 5-point deduction, too.
Not getting cocky yet.
All right.
You run out of time. Screw this up.
I know. Right. I know.
I think it was the, let's see, who's the next actor? Jai Courtney. It's a guy, J-A-I. He's also in this movie.
All right.
I imagine he's a white kid because he plays Bruce Willis's son in 2013's A Good Day to Die Hard.
Oh.
Is that him in the poster?
Yes. Okay. He's like the lead.
Is this after Live Free or Die Hard?
Yeah. Yes. This is after the long one, Justin Long.
He was also a prominent character in that Terminator Genesis reboot.
Oh, Jesus.
He's on Unbroken, Divergent. He's been around a little bit. He was in Jack Reacher.
The Justin Long one was the worked loosely on the premise that we're the only two human beings on the planet. Like the one where it's like, they're going to bring down the grid in that power plant that's in Mississippi. Well, get in the rental car. We got to get over there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're in Texarkana. Well, I don't care. We got to drive
there
through
no
the
time.
Night. It's like, are there other human beings that are trying to stop this from happening? Are there not? Could you phone one of them?
Yes. If the plot requires them to be there, they will be there.
This is one of those movies. They do this movie. This is another move I like. In a movie where the cops exist, and then the cops don't exist. Which is to say, if you need them to exist, like you're shooting it out in an apartment building and you hear sirens come, come on, we got to get out of here. Here they come, down the fire escape. Right. In that case, the cops are rolling. Then there's other times when you can take over an entire power plant and burn it to the ground over the course of many days, and no one ever shows up and asks why.
It's convenient to the plot.
I
hate that.
We do have cops, and they roll, or we have no cops in the same movie. I'll go one or the other. I can't have it both.
You don't get your ass on both chairs.
All right.
Which one in the series is this?
The last one they had, the most recent.
Five.
And hopefully the last. All right. They had to hate this one. I got to go bold here. Lots of action. Bruce is always good. 23.
Damn, I said 25.
I went very high and possibly ruined everything. 40.
A Good low. Day to Die Hard is rotten at 14.
Oh, and 40. Oh. Oh, but you did get, you went 40?
Yeah.
Gina, but the audience got it, so we add 8 points.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, rules are rules.
It's a vagary of the game.
Well, wait a second. Not vague.
It's 8 points. 8 points is 8 points, Brian. All right. Well, that helped Brian, and that helped me, but mostly it helped us by you being off by 26 points. All right. All right, here we go.
All right, our final movie. The star is Common, or he was in the movie.
No, no Margot Robbie.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, too.
There's not a lot of range with her. It's all pretty recent. 90%. I didn't
want Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it. Which you guys are going to know.
Right, okay.
This next movie stars a bunch of people and Angelina Jolie. Another movie I know absolutely nothing about.
Let me jump in for you here. James McAvoy stars alongside Angelina Jolie, Morgan Freeman. A movie about a fictional society of assassins that take their instructions from a loom.
A loom?
A loom. A magical loom.
Gotcha.
Good pick. 2008. The movie is called Wanted.
Okay. Wait a second.
What's a loom? I mean,
it's a weaving.
Like a
thing.
Weaving.
All right. I thought that's what a loom was, but I didn't know you could take. I didn't know you could do its bidding. Like they wanted a haunted textile mill.
This is the one where they curve bullets by they shoot the gun like this, and they fling their arm, and the bullet actually curves like a slider,
right.
Like a curveball.
Yeah. My problem with movies is I don't mind.
You ever saw this? This is an Adam Carolla movie.
I don't mind fantastical, and I don't mind. You know, I don't mind where the guy's running down the alley and the machine gun's going everywhere but not hitting him, you know, like, and then he does a shoulder roll.
Yeah.
And I don't mind all that, but it's when they start mixing and matching, like when the gun, they use guns, but then they bend the bullets. Yep. Like,
they bend it like Beckham.
It's a weird thing. All right.
This is a very Adam Carolla movie.
No, it is.
This poster is very Adjustment Bureau. It does not look real.
Next time you go to Europe, you should take this with you and watch with a group of guys, and they'll all hate it, but you'll love it.
Okay. I'm still getting over the shock and, quite frankly, heartache of Max Zapata not enjoying Point Break. Oh, no, Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Red terrible. Dawn. Very, awful. Very terrible.
Is that Andy Samberg on
the page? I'm going...
James McAvoy.
Nobody liked it, but it wasn't that bad, because how could it be 46?
I don't know the answer, but I do know that I saw this movie, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
Oh, man.
This is better than you think it's going to be. I said 72.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, I'm out of the game.
I could be wrong. This might have been a disaster, but I remember thinking, like, this is not that bad.
Right. I am just judging by the fake poster. I said 29.
Somebody's on the nose.
Oh! Might be 72.
2008 Wanted is... Certified fresh at 72.
No!
Yes!
No!
That's how you're playing the game.
No.
This is not a bad movie.
I pray that he wins by less than 5 points.
I hate everybody.
This is the best game ever.
You really should. But you should take this out on yourself for sure. You should definitely beat yourself up.
The two closest scores are separated by 2 points. Gina Grad with 76. The Ace Man is 2 points away. And congratulations goes to Adam's sound effects guy, Bald Brian, with 51 points.
51. So 76, what was mine?
74. You beat Gina.
And Gina came in last place.
I
started off with 5 points.
Gina won. Defeat from the jaws
of victory. Gina went negative 5, 9, 3, 26, 43.
Yeah, I think those are our measurements.
Thank you.
I'm at the 43. Rotten or fresh? All right.
I want to dedicate that victory to Michael, who's sitting in the green room.
Oh, yeah.
Came to visit us from Texas. He is a fellow brain tumor patient and fighting the good fight. He's on Avastin and kicking ass, hopefully. So, Michael, that one's for you, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game from 2016. Also,
Matt will be back on future installments. He's not done yet.
We will let you know when it's Matt Atchity's final episode, but we are getting there. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody again about Geico, because if you own or you rent your home, I got good news for you. Let's make it easy by bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. So make sure to go do that. It's so easy. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Tell them, Gio.
It's Geico easy.
Oh, yeah. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right. The Adam Carolla Show returns tomorrow with a couple of live shows that we did in Naples. Kyle Dunnigan is slated to be on. Some Rotten Tomatoes game somewhere in there. Some blah, blah, blah. We'll have some fun. And, you know, Adam always brings
Sylvester
it on
Stallone,
stage.
You think?
He'll be there. I should just say Sylvester Stallone's going to be there, right?
Yeah. He might actually really be there, too.
Oh, that's true. We did invite him. So make sure to tune in, and Carolla Classics returns the weekend after this one. So we'll see you there, too. My name's Chris Laxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Hello, and get it on.